Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
All right, before we get into some college football conversation, and we'll also let you hear a little bit of what Dabo Swinney had to say about his quarterback battle. His coach joined us here a little bit earlier in the show. It is Dukes and Bell. We're live inside the Kia studios. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. More coming up about the Braves. Ronald Acuna in the lineup again tonight, as we said. And a little bit later on also, we've got Yeah Man, No Man. But here's the deal, guys, if you're just joining us today. The good news and the kind of the news everybody was waiting on is whether or not Acuna's CT scan was going to come back on the elbow. It came back normal, so he's good to go. And hopefully he can pick up where he left off prior to being plunked last night, which was Bush League. But as we said, we'll get more into that, more about the Falcons as well as tomorrow, guys. You'll be able to listen right here starting at 5 o'clock with the pregame show. Chiefs in town taking on our Falcons in the second preseason game. And hopefully we show a lot better. Now, Mike and I, we'll talk about it starting at 2 tomorrow and getting you ready for the game. But, Mike, this is one of those situations where, again, I'm not worried about wins and losses, but we got to have a better showing.
It is going to be a good test for our defense, both the starters and the backups and the guys trying to crack the starting lineup, because it looks like the Chiefs, Andy Reid, needs to get more reps for Patrick Mahomes, and he's going to surround him with the starters for, it sounds like, at least reading the Kansas City paper, at least three or four series, maybe the entire, whatever they get, could be the whole first half.
All right, guys, before we get to the sidelines, real quick, you went and got our beer last night.
Yeah, man, real quick, there's 25 locations. Go to Oconee Brewing Company, and again, Georgia Crown's distributing our Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale. We are told by Dutch and Promotions it will be in cans by Labor Day. I think September 1 is the day we're shooting for. And it'll be in stores all over the place. But we got a couple of heads up from our listeners about this Kroger on Peachtree, going up Peachtree into Brookhaven. So as you're coming out of Buckhead, you're going north on Peachtree before it turns into Peachtree Industrial, before you get over to Hudson Grill and all. Big, I mean, mother of all Krogers.
It's huge.
Yeah. And they've got a giant draft section. So they got a bunch of your favorite microbrews on draft, including Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale. So I went and got 2 64-ounce growlers of the good stuff.
Hey, man.
And just as I was rolling in, I'm in the car driving up, and my wife goes, "You're not going to believe what just happened." And that was Acuna getting plunked.
Oh.
And so sure enough, I come up to the bar, and there's a dude at the bar. And he happens to be from Zimbabwe. Really nice guy. George. And he's like, "You're not going to believe this bull's blank."
Yeah.
If they were showing the replay. And that's when I got on Twitter, and I lost my mind. So everybody was hopping mad about what was going down with Ronald Acuna last night. And by the way, Kroger fried chicken, not bad.
Not bad.
I'm a Publix man. Have you had it?
I have not had. I've had Publix. I've not had. The
reminds
Kroger fried
me
chicken.
Of Roy Rogers chicken. If guys remember what that was like back in the day, the old hamburger joint doesn't exist anymore. I'm very impressed. Nice job, Kroger.
Good deal. Yeah.
Cheated on Publix last night.
I stopped eating dinner. That's how mad I was last night. Yeah, man.
That's crazy talk.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, wait a minute, did that just happen?
Well, you're in a pro Acuna fast.
So then I was having steak. I pushed it aside.
Oh, that's not right.
Yeah,
because the dog was eating good last night.
No, I went back to eating about 10 minutes later, right. But I agree with you. All right, man, let's talk of some college football. On the sidelines, always brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
BrightBox Electrical, guys, 770-901-2500. Go to BrightBoxElectrical.com. They got deals on generators now. Make sure you got a backup plan for your house or for your tailgate, 770-901-2500.
All right, let's hear from Kirby Smart, first of all, about Wednesday's practices, guys, and the rundown and what he thought about it.
We changed some things around today and had good competition, kind of changed the order of practice and tried to put some emphasis on some of the special teams. But I didn't think we had good juice. Didn't think we had real good juice on Monday and Tuesday. A lot of poor me's and school starting, a lot of excuses. So good practice today, though.
Interesting stuff.
Some and good juice.
Yeah, I think you got to change things up, obviously, to keep kids interested, but also to keep the competition amped up. Kirby also talked about his concerns, Mike, about the O-line.
Getting a formidable backup center, getting a good two sets of tackles. Who's going to be the tackle if this guy goes down? Who's going to be the right tackle in the competition? Which guards can go out and play tackle? Who are the guys that can play left and right side? Who are the guys that can just play left and they'll go left tackle and left guard? Kendall Baker's been at left tackle for a couple days working out there. Cade's worked inside some. I mean, we got a done by committee. So when you say a concern, I mean, I'm concerned about every spot.
All right. Now, look, the good news is, guys, they got reserves that can start for other teams. That's how good the depth is for Georgia on offensive line. But Kirby is still looking for that magic combination, sounds like. Or at least trying to get some guys motivated to be at the level he needs them to be.
Well, that's the thing. And listen, I think the talent level is going to be there. We've talked about it, you know, from Chip Towers to Jeff Santel telling us the size of this O-line, it doesn't matter who starts, it's going to be bigger than it was last year, just from a physicality standpoint. Right. But who's getting the job done? Who's not missing assignments? Who's protecting Jake Fromm? And who's opening up those holes for those running backs?
I got less concerns about Georgia's O-line than I do about the Falcons. When you consider all the weapons that Georgia has, and our buddy Chip Towers, who joined the show yesterday, he's got a blog in Dog Nation saying, remember, you got 3 5-star receivers now. Now that Demetrius Robertson is back where he belongs at Georgia. Terry Godwin, McCall Hardman, Robertson, but Robertson, that vertical threat. So you got, I mean, think of the myriad of options, whether it's Fromm or Fields back there. Not to mention the great running backs.
No doubt. What about the receivers? Kirby also talked about that, saying the best guys, at least right now.
And right now, the guys that are playing best at receiver were not the highly regarded guys. And we're going to play the guys that play the best. We're going to play the guys that practice the best. We're going to play the guys that bust their butt and go out there and help the team. And it's what they came in as. I'm not into that. I'm into the team environment. Can you help our team? And if you can, then I'm going to reward you by helping our team.
So there you go, Mr. Godwin, Mr. Robertson, Mr. Hardman. You need to up your game, according to Coach.
All three of those guys should have really good years, too. I mean,
I don't care if they're 5 stars. I need them to put the work in.
That's it.
You can have Athlon. You can have our lads, rivals, kissing your butt. I got to see it. I'm not seeing it.
I don't know if
it morphed into Ray Goff again.
It does. I don't know if Godwin's going to have the kind of season, but Mike Kapp, coming off of last year, he's got to be – confidence-wise, he's got to have a lot of confidence
right. Coming
off of last season. Robertson, we talked about a burner. Mecole Hardman, I mean, they got some weapons. I can't wait to see how they use all this stuff. Speaking of using it, did you see this story? Maybe you didn't. Jim Chaney talking about the fact that, you know, he doesn't do it by himself. And they tell the story, Mike, of when Chaney met with Kirby Smart. Mm-hmm. Now, this goes back, guys, all right? First time in a conference room hidden under the stairway at Georgia's hotel. There was the team hotel. It's New Year's Day 2016, the day after Alabama had advanced to the national championship. And Kirby Smart, working two jobs at the time, had flown to Jacksonville, where he was met by Jim Chaney, already hired as the offensive coordinator. They snuck into a conference room. A few minutes later, James Cooley came in. He was a free agent at the time. And then he's wearing a suit and tie. They met for hours interviewing. And apparently there could be laughter heard. Two seasons later, after one frustrating season, and then the magical one, those three guys remain. And we talked about this. They paid Cooley a lot of money to stick around. Remember?
Yeah, they didn't want to lose him.
That's right. They changed his title and everything. So he is now the co-offensive coordinator.
He's working more with the quarterbacks. Chaney's spending time working with the tight ends, which is what he did back in the day. And so it's very interesting to see how this kind of two-headed offensive monster works. I got no problem with it. I like the idea of more eyeballs on a situation.
I don't either. Chaney says it's not all me. Trust me. He outlined how it kind of works. He says in the run game, the running backs coach Dell McGee and offensive line coach Sam Pittman, they chip in. When you start talking about game planning and the passing game, it's Cooley and the receivers coach, Cortez Hankin, or Hankton, that is. And so he says, listen, it's a team effort. It's just not me in a room drawing up plays. All these guys are chipping in and giving me input as to how we should do this and attack.
All right, so it's more than just Cooley, the recruiter, not wanting to be lost. Yep. He's actually putting it's all about X's and O's. A lot of guys will just go, yeah, that's just because they want to give him a bigger check as a recruiter. Well, you're hearing from the coach's mouth.
Our dog report, as always, guys, brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
BrightBox Electrical Mon, 770-901-2500. If you guys are just tuning in, earlier in the show, Carl and I spoke with Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney. And obviously, like Georgia, Alabama, he's actually got 3 quarterbacks, including Sunshine from up the road. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence is a guy that a lot of people are excited about. What about Kelly Bryant? We asked Dabo, how's a quarterback battle going?
We got Kelly Bryant, we got Trevor Lawrence, and we got Chase Bryce. And I think at some point this season, you'll see all three of those guys, and I think they'll all play well when they get their opportunity to play.
So it's kind of like what you're hearing from Georgia, whereas Nick Saban, Carl wants one guy to win the job.
Yeah.
Kirby's going to kind of kick the tires. A couple years back, though, I know Clemson fans, because I was at the game, they had seen enough of Stout, they wanted Deshaun Watson in the game, and a lot of people felt that if they had used Deshaun Watson back in 2013, they might have beaten Florida State.
I think Lawrence is ultimately going to be the guy. Now, Kelly has shown he can win games, Mike. Mm-hmm. But, when you start talking about the difference of beating maybe in Alabama in this college football playoff, maybe it's in Ohio State, maybe it's Washington, who's coming to town to play in the Chick-fil-A kickoff against Auburn. I just think that Lawrence is going to be the guy ultimately, and it may happen sooner than later. We'll see. They've got a good problem to have as well. I mean, look around the landscape of college football. We're talking about Georgia having two quality quarterbacks. Alabama has it. Clemson also thinks that they've got it. By the way, for those who don't remember, Trevor Lawrence, guys, you had, you know, Justin Fields and Lawrence were the top two quarterbacks when you talk about coming out of this state, and both of those guys could ultimately play each other once down the road.
And by the way, I said 13. It was the 2014 season. Cole Stout was the starter.
Cole Stout.
And Deshaun Watson, obviously, was the guy with all the juice from Gainesville that Clemson fans were so excited about. And that was a year they lost to Florida State. That was the Jameis suspension game. The 23-17 overtime game. And a lot of people said if Deshaun had started that from the jump, then Clemson's off and running, and FSU doesn't get back to the college football Final Four.
The most, or at least one of the interesting things that Coach talked to us about, we're talking about Dabo Swinney from Clemson, in building, you know, how do you build this? And, Mike, he's been there a long time, but once you get the head coaching job, and now it's your ship, right? You're running it. What are you doing differently, and what are you doing to try to get to that elite class of schools and programs around the country where they are right now? You know, I'm willing to tell you that there are a few programs that when Clemson shows up 10 years ago, Clemson shows up now based on this recent success. Mike, they're like Alabama in the sense that you're getting players that, you know, hey, we'll take you. We don't need you. We'll take you. They can pick and choose.
Look, much like Mark Richt's Georgia, you're going back to, you know, Jim Donnan or Ray Goff's Georgia. You always had the talent at Clemson. They were putting guys in the NFL. And just like Georgia, remember, you and I, one of our first conversations working together, Clemson is Georgia, Georgia is Clemson. Well, Clemson got to the championship. They're a perennial now. They're in that Final Four every year, seemingly. And Georgia got to the top of the mountain, came this close. So they're where they should be. And then, by the way, with Clemson also announcing they're going to pick up a home-and-home with LSU in 2025 and 2026. Georgia and Clemson, of course, had a home-and-home going back. What, 14 was the last time they played? So it would be kind of nice if you want to take on all comers, whether it's Mercedes-Benz or doing it in Death Valley in Sanford. I'd love to see that get back again.
Austin Bryant, preseason honor roll at defensive end. Cleland Farrell, also named to the Ted Hendricks Award watch list. And for those who are not familiar with that, you know, that award is pretty special, recognizes the nation's top defensive ends. Both of their guys are on the list. They've got three All-Americans and possibly three first-round draft picks on that D-line. And Brian and Farrell are both of those guys, could easily be first-round picks. They're going to be good. We'll see. Listen, I think the ACC theirs to win or to blow, however you might want to say it. But you look at the schedule, and we were talking about this amongst ourselves after a coach went off. Mike, I'm looking, you know, you got Florida State. I don't know what Florida State is this year, but they play them at Florida State. You're talking about going on the road.
Mm-hmm.
But you get, you know, Louisville at home. You get NC State at home. You get Duke. Oh, don't laugh. The game that's interesting to me is that, Jimbo, you said this, Texas A&M and Clemson. And Clemson plays A&M early in the season, right? I think it's
It's at Kyle Field on September 8th.
September 8th,
so that's the thing. It's funny because, you know, I joked around with him. I was joking around.
Conference game,
no, but it's also the guy, he ran out of the ACC. Now, there are, again, other circumstances with Jimbo leaving Tallahassee. But, boy, oh, boy. I mean, I think Clemson goes on the road, and Aggie fans will be out of their minds because that'll be an early bench, you know, sort of benchmark for Jimbo to see what he's got. But Clemson, that one aside, you're right. It sets up well for them. They do play Georgia Tech here at Bobby Dodd. And by the way, we're not just throwing out their, you know, bouquets for blanks and giggles. Carl and I, and we talked about this, even Jeff Schultz agrees with us, this is one of those years where Georgia Tech might just sneak up on a 9-win season despite how tough their schedule is.
They've got four guys, I think maybe five guys, with experience of 5 or 6 games on that offensive line. We talk about this scheme, and experience is always the key. First of all, you need a quarterback. They've got one. Marshall can run this offense. And then, you know, Benson in the backfield, they've got really good running backs. And just changing the style of defense, Mike, I think could be the difference with Georgia Tech. I'm with you, man. I think 9 games is a very realistic goal for Georgia Tech. Hey, let's give you a chance to win some money right now playing our National Signing Bonus Contest.
Now it's time to reveal our National Signing Bonus code word. The code word is...
active! Are you active? A-C-T-I-V-E. How active are you?
I'm day-to-day right now. Active, guys. A-C-T-I-V-E. Active goes to 72881. Active. We want you guys to win some money because we're wrapping up this edition of our National Signing Bonus Contest. We don't think you listen just to win money. Guys, 72881, the word is active. Text that and win.
All right, guys. We're going to talk about showboating because a lot of people are saying this is what led to Acuña getting blasted last night. Now, I don't think he showboats. I think he hits home runs. He makes his way around the bases. And you saw last night Dansby paying homage to him by doing the whole tap the chest twice, kiss to the sky, and the big clap, right? That's kind of his thing. And you saw Dansby when he hit his home run. He did it last night. Acuña's not out there pimping home runs. I don't think he showboats. But some people have said today, Mike, that is what has led, or at least last night, led to it. You know what led to it? He's kicking your blank. That's what led to it. Yeah. You can't get him out, and you're afraid to pitch to him, so you hit him.
Well, you know, you got the Joey Bats thing. I mean, it's almost like you.
Now, that was ridiculous.
You know a jackleg when you see one. You know, I mean, Joey Bats. Here's the thing. A guy who's been in the bigs for 12 years, more longer than that for Joey Bautista. And then you got a guy who's, you know, an effervescent 20-year-old from Venezuela. Having fun, Carl, at the time of his life on a great hot streak. And let's bean the guy. Maybe we'll break his wrist. Nah, baseball. You know, baseball, don't get too old for your business now, Carl. It's all about younger demographics. Younger people like to see the bat flipped. They like to see the shenanigans.
Well, I think they like to be entertained. I have no issues with it. I think there should be more of it. We'll talk about it with you guys coming up here on Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. Falcon Report coming up at 5 o'clock, guys. And we'll talk about the roster a little bit. We'll also talk about a couple of things that we'll look forward to seeing tomorrow as the Falcons play their second preseason game. All right, listen. A couple of things. One is I know that most of you feel some kind of way about what went down last night with Ronald Acuña. Braves do win, by the way. It's kind of been lost in the whole discussion. And, you know, it's kind of secondary, to be honest with you. It's kind of what I said. At that point in the game, you know, you're going, I don't care if we win or lose. I want some retaliation. And that did not happen last night. But we win 5-2, Mike. So, you know, we said this. Listen, I don't think Acuña showboats. I think he is naturally passionate about the way that he plays the game. And when he's having success the way he's had success, and put yourself in that situation, I think he's just a joyful kind of kid. That's what I sense from him, Mike. I don't sense the bravado or the, you know, suck it kind of attitude from him. And some people are saying, you know, the bat flip the night before where he hit the home run is probably what got him hit in the start of yesterday's
game. He got hit because Don Mattingly wanted to take a guy out of his game. He wanted to send a message. It's old school. Don Mattingly tells his pitcher, not on our watch, pal. He's making mincemeat out of us. Send a message. So come inside. And Urania, he's an inside artist. He's come inside. Didn't have the control to control where he was going inside with it. And he plunks it with the fastest pitch he's ever thrown as a first pitch in a game. Meanwhile, Ronald Acuña telling Dave O'Brien before the game tonight that he thought, yeah, the pitch was thrown with intent to hit him. He also told Dave that he's not going to change how he plays. Can't. Ronald says, with happiness and joy, having fun. He made clear he's not focusing on anything now except winning. Not the former streak, not possible suspension for Urania, etc. So, and that's the thing. I mean, real quick, Carl and I are, I'm pushing 50, and you're a little bit behind me. You know, you're younger than I am. But we grew up in an era where there's nothing much to do about nothing. The guys got dusted back and all that. But as you get older, as I said, I'll just repeat it real quick. I don't see the point of it anymore. Because it's one thing when it's somebody and you're watching a Dodgers-Giants game, and then, of course, they hate each other going back, you know, 75, 80 years. But it's one thing when it's, you know, your guy. It's your Rookie of the Year candidate. It's your pennant race. That's when you begin to say, hey, man. And then especially with the Gausman thing. Carl, the biggest beef I have, and I agree with you 100%, where was the Braves in the dugout? What were they waiting for? Were they waiting for the green flag? You got to get out there, and you can settle this and not have to worry about Gausman hitting anybody in the second inning if anybody gets his hands on Urania. You know? Let's see, you know, it's a shame that the coaching staff were kind of leading the charge, but Ender and Ciarte wanted a piece. Create a flying wedge, Carl, and let somebody go over the top and smack him in the face, and then we're all done with it. We get on with our lives.
Yeah, I was infuriated for many reasons. One, you hit our dude, but I get it. And, Mike, this is where I think, you know, we disagree. I'm not going to tell you that I wouldn't want to see this done away with. Pops hits me up on Twitter. He says, Dukes, this eye for an eye stuff is more of the unwritten rules. Always has been. He says, hitting, you know, another player, you know, it would have satisfied us. Potentially, yes. But he said it would have been wrong, too. He says it's time to change the culture of baseball and get rid of the beanball. But here's the reality, and people have been saying this for years. And, you know, again, as we progress and things move forward, as Mike is saying, and whether you call it age or things just change, because they always do, nothing stays the same, you know, maybe we are moving towards that. But I just think this is a part of that culture of baseball that if you're going to get someone back, whether they're hot like Acuña has been, whether you don't like a guy and you hadn't liked him for years, and now you get a chance to face him for the first time, whatever the circumstances are, and guys, the stories are endless about why guys have hit guys, okay? This is how it goes down. And so the thing that I think most players will tell you is, dude, I'm good with it, as long as you're not trying to hit me in the head. Right. That's the line that has to be drawn. And so for a lot of guys last night, it wasn't the fact that Acuña got hit. It was more about the principle of it, you know? It wasn't, okay, fine, you want to hit him, but don't hit him with the first pitch because it's obvious and it's intentional. If you're going to do that, it should have been done the night before. You know, that's why there was no covering this up with Don Mattingly last night, right, Mike, when he tried to cover this and say, well, you know, we talked to the kid before the game and we wanted to brush Acuña back.
Yeah, he basically didn't. He wouldn't even admit that. He just said, we talked about how we're gonna handle him.
That's what he was saying.
Yeah, I mean, we can't connect all the dots for some of you guys, but I mean, and I'm trying to be condescending, but Don Mattingly is an old school guy. And if you go back and read the articles about what the vibe was in Los Angeles and why they moved on from him. And look, he's a placeholder now. You think Derek Jeter's going to have him there forever in Miami? You know, this is going to be a long turnaround, and he'll burn it out down there too. But getting back to the Bravos, I mean, if you're going to do this, that's my thing. My biggest beef is the dog and pony show and total waste of time, Carl, whenever it happens in baseball, that becomes running out of the dugout. The bench-clearing brawl is not a brawl. You had one guy, Eric Young, maybe two, Ender Inciarte, that were hopping mad. Snicker was out there on the vanguard of it. But, I mean, where are the rest of the guys? If you're actually going to do it, get your money's worth and swing, hit somebody. You know, and make it a designated reserve player, Carl, to go out there and drop the hammer if you must.
Well, that's
but
how
I just
it's
didn't
played.
Want to see. I just my big picture look at it was I'd rather see it handled like men on the field as opposed to having Gausman plunk a guy and then we got to go play grab bag with our bullpen for seven innings.
Well, here's the other way, and you know, there's 8 million ways to skin a cat. I was having this conversation with Craig. Fine, let Kevin pitch his six innings. But you have two guys that come out of the bullpen late in the game who handle business.
Right.
And if they get kicked out and suspended, so be it.
Yeah, you want Ventures to throw some chin music? You can get your get back.
It didn't have to be Gausman. The point is you make it happen and the message is sent. You hit our guy, we get it. But here's the payback, and now we're even and we can keep it moving. And I felt that part of it last night was kind of lost, even though the Braves win, which is the most important thing. Again, we are in a pennant race. But there are you talk about these unspoken rules. There are things that go on in these clubhouses all the time. And I'm going to tell you, I would tell you five experiences of my own where a guy has told me, I don't like such and such. So what you going to do? You'll see. And he gets hit that night.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows. And nobody talks about it. And they go, whoa, that pitch got away from him. No, it didn't. Dude told me 2 hours before the game that he was going to hit him.
Right.
So this kind of stuff goes on all the time. And I just hate the fact that we're trying to be bamboozled by the idea of Mattingly. Well, you know, we talked to him. Bull crap.
Yeah. If you haven't seen the video, go back and you can find it on YouTube. You can find it on MLB.com. Mattingly looks like the cat that swallowed the canary at that point. You know, the other thing is if Gausman doesn't get run, I mean, I should check that. If Urena doesn't get run, then Gausman has a chance to plunk him in the third inning.
Yes.
Because unlike the American League where the pitchers never have to face the music, and that's why I always loved when Pedro, you know, Pedro goes to the Red Sox, he's a tough guy. You know, when you're in the National League, you brush somebody back, you got to face the music yourself. You know, somebody could come in on you. How do you like that? You know, Mr. I'm coming inside with a 98-mile-an-hour fastball.
All right, guys, 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can chime in that way. You can find us on social media as well. 92.9 The Game. Like us on Facebook if you've not done so, and follow us. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm all at Put 'Em Up, C. Dukes. What's up?
You know, just one last nugget on this bad boy, because a couple guys hit me up on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Guys called in. You can always sound off, too, at 404-741-0929. Guys are like, Mike, what's this new sensitive mic? No. I'm just telling you, we love baseball, but we do realize that there is a problem in American sports right now, how American sports is viewed on television. And if your sport doesn't have new viewers, bringing younger viewers coming in, it's important for us as a radio station. It's important for you if you own a business. You got to have younger customers coming. You own a car dealership. I'm great that you got the 75-year-old, Greenfields are coming in to buy another Buick. But at some point, you got to turn over the fan base.
Yeah.
This stuff does not translate to younger fans.
I don't buy that.
I saw it last night.
I don't buy that.
They don't understand it.
Did you see it from people reacting to the moment?
They want to see a guy flipping a bat. They want the hijinks that we look as old school, they think is part of the entertainment of baseball.
Now, that I agree with. The idea that they don't like what happened actually is entertaining.
But again, so entertaining, unfortunately, nobody was in their seats to see it last night.
Yeah, but you know what, Mike? I can tell you this. I'm willing to bet you that the stadium will be packed all weekend. because of what transpired, not only last night, but what's been going on.
I hope so.
And I'm not saying that because it's something I want. I just think that that aspect of the drama of sports brings more viewers, brings more eyes to it. The entertainment aspect, hell, we said this to the NFL 10 years ago. Let guys celebrate touchdowns.
Right.
All of a sudden, the NFL said, well, you can celebrate touchdowns. It's entertainment. That I agree with. But I'm not going to say that a 25- or 29-year-old guy doesn't like a certain aspect of what happens in a game.
You think the snowflake generation understands a guy getting hit for doing his job?
Who are you calling snowflakes?
I'm saying this, some elements of that millennial thing, man.
Say that again. That what they like.
You think that they understand the concept of, you know, so let me get this straight. This guy's killing it. He's on fire, yeah. And now he's going to get hit.
Yeah.
The other team's going to come at him for doing his job. I know. Think of it in a younger vernacular. I mean, I just don't think that translates to some of the younger guys and girls out there. I think there's a whole.
It's not that hard to understand.
But
though.
I think there's a disconnect with some of the things that have made baseball what it is. As we said, these unwritten rules, nobody under the age of 30 understands it or even gives a crap and thinks it's stupid.
Yeah, well, maybe. But here's the irony. Baseball's ratings, good.
Right.
Baseball making money. All the things we said about baseball is not true. We said, oh, it's going to fade. It's going to do this. It's going to do. It's not. So how is that possible if people are not paying attention?
I'm not saying today, tomorrow. I'm saying big picture here. I'm saying, why do you think Manfred's made this mandate to speed the games up?
Well, that's
nobody wants to be at the ballpark for 4.5 hours, especially in the American League.
Yeah, but see, that's a different conversation. If you're talking about how to decrease the time of gameplay, that's one conversation. The other conversation is the drama and what goes on in these storylines, Mike. That's what brings people to the game.
I'll tell you what doesn't bring people to the game is three pitching changes between the seventh and the ninth inning. That's also something which, again, the players' union is going to push back on. There are ways you can move this game forward, I do think, without ripping it off, you know, its skeleton.
It is interesting as we have this conversation, guys. And again, you're welcome to join in at 404-741-0929. But as we've talked about, I think the common denominator is, right, Braves are hot. We're in first place.
Yep.
We've got the best young player in MLB, as we've been telling you. And now that this has transpired, more people are aware of it and more people are conscious of it. So I would tell you that I don't necessarily agree with that whole young people don't get this and they don't care. I don't know if that's true. Only time will tell. I just think the storylines and the intrigue bring people to the game. And last night we had one of the most intriguing storylines going where you had a guy who was on the verge of doing something very special who gets plunked with the first pitch. 404-741-0929. Guys, it's Dukes and Bell. Coming up, Falcon Report in less than 30 minutes. We're going to come back. We'll take some of your phone calls. Yeah, man, no man as well. Bo, you got some questions today? You good?
Yeah, we've also got some terrible, terrible news about ESPN and the NFL, Carl.
All right, man.
I'll explain.
Stay there. Coming up, guys, we're going to talk to Hall of Famer John Smoltz more about this Braves incident that happened. By the way, Acuna back in the lineup. It is Dukes and Bell. Real quick, want to grab a couple of phone calls at 404-741-0929. A lot of people reacting to us today, Mike. We agree on some things. Some things we disagree on. One thing we do agree on is it was Bush League, how that thing went down last night.
Yeah, I mean, it was old school, but is there a place for that in 2018, especially when it's your young star player in the middle of the pennant race?
All right, Corey in Brookhaven, you're in the game with Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, talk to us.
Hey, man.
What's going on?
Hey, love you guys. I just want to say I am old school. I played baseball. I'm 37. I played baseball all my life. I was a pitcher all the way through college.
Okay.
So I believe in unwritten rules. I've thrown at guys. I've seen everything. I like the neighborhood play that they took away at second base, turned to double play. I like umpires making makeup calls when they screw up a call. So I'm old school in that way. However, Carl, I got to disagree with you, buddy, because where that crossed the line last night is you throw at somebody for a perceived slight, and Acuna has done nothing wrong.
Right.
He did nothing to warrant that. So I think that's the difference where the Bush League Marlins, out of jealousy and panic, because they got nothing to lose in their season. I mean, and I also agree that the Braves made the right call and not responded last night. Baseball players have a long memory.
They do.
We'll remember that. Just
right.
Wait till next year. So that's my take on it.
Hey,
I disagree,
man,
about the unwritten rules.
Good stuff, Corey. Appreciate you listening in Brookhaven, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, man, it goes all the way back. Remember the Padres? They brawled with the Braves. One of the biggest fights of all time. This goes back in the 80s. And that thing went on for, like, Kurt Bavacqua and everybody.
Like an hour.
Yeah, elephant's memory on that. So, I mean, look, hell, Daryl Strawberry danced around the base paths in Game 7 of the World Series. Nipper threw at him in spring training
next
year.
You're right.
And both dugouts cleared. So, yeah, I mean, there is some payback. I hear what the man's saying.
Jose in Gainesville, you're up next on Dukes and Bell. Hey, what's going on, Jose? Hey, man. Jose.
Hip, hip, Jose.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, man.
Talk to us.
Hey, so look, Acuña is hands down the best rookie in the league right now. I don't care what anybody says. And mind you, this is coming from a Yankees fan. So I definitely got to give him his props for the rock and roll that he has got going on for the Braves. But the Marlins are a bunch of punks for what they did last night. He didn't deserve to get hit like that on the first pitch of the game. It was pretty obvious. They were ticked off that he was kicking their blank the last three games. So he can keep doing what he's doing. Acuña is going to be a star for a very long time in this league. And, you know, the whole backflip thing, let him have it. Let him do his thing. He's young. He's enjoying the game. He's living his life. And, you know, he deserves it. He's done everything that he has to get to this point. And definitely I think he's going to keep pushing forward. But the Marlins, they need to learn a little lesson about respect when it comes to certain players.
You go respect me. I agree. Jose, thank you so much for listening and calling, man. This is what Mike and I say. Again, do you really have that big of a problem with the backflip?
Yeah, and guys are doing it now, and more guys are doing it. And by the way, the Marlins have a history going back. No, it was before Mattingly got there. But, I mean, we talked about it. The late Jose Fernandez, when he hit a home run as a pitcher, took his sweet time around the base paths, and the Braves didn't care for that. And you had the situation where Brian McCann was getting after it with Carlos Gomez. That goes all the way back to 2013 for taking his time. So, yeah, there are some stuff. But as we said, Carl and I, we've been talking about it all day for guys just tuning in. Is there a place for some of these unwritten rules, especially when it's as slight as the perceived slight was?
Corey had a great point. He really did. And, you know, with all the aggression and anger that many of us felt last night, because, again, he could have been done for the season. He could have been hurt seriously for a very long time.
And, by the way, I get it. In a real fight, in a real brawl, somebody could get injured and a player could separate his shoulder or something. But I'm just saying, somebody on the bench for the Braves needed to get to Urania and beat the crap out of him, or at least get a swing on his face. And then we don't have to have this whole rigmarole about when we get the payback. You can settle it right there. But the Braves are kind of passive-aggressive in that little standoff.
Yeah, I don't ever want to see Brian Snitker out of the dugout first. Ever.
Now, credit to Ender.
He jumped it.
Eric Young was the most passionate, but he's not an everyday player. No, he's a coach.
EY's past his prime. EY's just saying,
yeah, you tell that to EY, man.
You're not going
to
mess with him. Hey, man, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man.
For Yeah Man, No Man on Dukes and Bell. We provide answers to several rapid-fire questions for the world of sports and entertainment. It's sometimes a surprise question. Here's today's question number one.
All right, what you got, Bo Morgan?
Eric Young was one step away from coming Don Zimmerman last night, so that would have been tough.
Don Zimmer.
Yeah, whatever. Well, you know, by the way, rest in peace, right? He's left
right. He's up that's in heaven right. with that's my right. dad and Gil Hodges, yes. Yeah. And Carl's dad, too.
So we made a poll question so we could hit Vision Computers. By the way, don't forget, Vision Computers were a whole time. It's 15 seconds or less. Based on this, after the Marlins hit Acuña last night, is it time that baseball gets rid of these unwritten rules? Well, we gave three options. Said yes, get rid of them. No, it's part of the game. And the other guy, which is, you know what, I don't care either way. Because, honestly, I think you do have fans that are in the middle. At times, fans are like, you know what? I'm okay with it because it's my team doing it to them. And then I think other times it's like, what are they doing? You know, do they get angry?
Oh, dude, the world would have spun off its axis in this town if Acuña had a season-ending injury over a beanball.
Over a sucky Marlins squad.
Right.
Yeah.
Going nowhere.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of teams from Florida and popping off and doing stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jalen Ramsey did what he did and decided to call out the entire National Football League.
Sure did.
Well, our very own Matt Ryan has responded in his own way. He was asked by Dan Patrick this morning on the Dan Patrick Show what he thought about everything.
You know what? I've played for 11 years. And so, you know, I've heard my fair share of trash talking from a lot of different people. And if this stuff kept me up at night, I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. So I don't pay too much mind to it. I'm about winning games, and I'm about being the absolute best player that I can be. So that's kind of my thoughts on it.
Oh, snap! He told you, Jalen!
Well, he took the high road.
You're right. All right, okay. Yeah, all right.
Because that's Miller. That's
right,
not
fine.
Good.
Fine.
What's Matt going to say? I got something for Ramsey coming up week three preseason. Biatch. He's not going to say that. He's not going to say that. Now, I mean, some Falcon fans would like him to, but Matt took the high road.
I thought he came off pretty. Can I hear it one more time? I just thought.
You know what? I've played for 11 years, and so you know I've heard my fair share of trash talking from a lot of different people. And if this stuff kept me up at night, I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. So I don't pay too much mind to it. I'm about winning games, and I'm about being the absolute best player that I can be. So
yeah,
that's kind of my thoughts on it.
Fuck it, Jalen.
He took the high road, baby.
He did. And you know what?
And a lot of guys. Eli Manning's cool like, that. Who is this guy?
Eli response made me laugh. They were like, Eli, cornerback, blah, 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 blah. He was like, who?
Now, it is interesting for guys that play the Jaguars this year on the schedule. But look, Ramsey's like he talks trash, man. And in some cases, he's getting in some guys' heads. We'll see where it goes. He got A.J. Green completely out of his game last
totally.
Year.
Totally. Is there a question? I'm sorry.
Is a question. Do you like this response from Matt Ryan? It's not yeah, man, no, man, but do you like this kind of response, or did you want him to go off the rails and do something?
What are you going to make a big deal? It would pump some life into a meaningless preseason game, but I mean, I'll neutral on it because it's what I expected from Matt. I expected him to take that kind of tenor.
It's not what I expected, but it's what he needed to do, because if you respond to Jalen Ramsey, other cats are going to realize that they can say something to get you to react.
Right, get in your head. There's nothing gained by Matt saying it.
There is no reason for Matt to go there. It doesn't benefit him, and it certainly doesn't benefit the Falcons. I have no issues with it. I'm glad he responded, but keep it above board.
And you know what he said on Dan Patrick, which went nationally, is not what he feels, and how he probably talked about this in the locker room. Look, everybody's got a side they put out and a side that they – you know, they just keep quiet.
What are you saying? He ripped his shirt off in the locker room?
So, I mean, look, a guy hit us up yesterday on the Twitter after I tweeted. I said it would be nice to see, you know, Sark dial up a, you know, kind of double move Julio thing on this guy. But again, it's preseason. It's meaningless. And this is a guy who feels the need to chirp. You know, Josh Norman does it. Some guys who, and it seems to be, it comes from that position, doesn't it?
Corners. Yeah. Guys on an island out there. It is Dukes and Bell. It's Yeah Man, No Man. Bo Morgan's got more questions. What you got working, man?
Well, you know, last time Julio had a cornerback that was loud, played for Arizona, and I think he made him.
Peterson. Woo, yeah.
It is words. All right, we got a little stadium food with the opening of Mercedes-Benz for the preseason.
Okay.
So, nationally around the league, USA Today put out some. The first one on our list, and just a yeah man, no man on, is the Dunginess Crab Pretzel, which includes knuckle and claw meat mixed with garlic, aioli, and Dijon mustard.
Where's this at? Baltimore?
That is in San Francisco.
Oh.
That sounds delicious.
Ooh. Yeah. I mean, an affirmative. An emphatic yeah, man.
Up in Buffalo, they went really fancy with a fried peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Literally, guys, I'm looking at the picture. This looks like an Uncrustable that they dropped in a free frying thing.
Dude, with an ice cold beer?
That sounds
pretty
good.
Yeah. That's two yeah, man.
I'm a big peanut butter and jelly guy anyway. Yeah.
Taking a trip to Cleveland, we'll get the Red Zone Bratwurst, which is a bratwurst, caraway Cleveland kraut, spicy mustard, and Tony Paco's pickles.
Ooh.
I'm intrigued.
Okay, look
so
at
far,
us.
I'm 3 for 3 on what they're
look at
offering.
Us, Bo. What do you think? We're not going to like these food selections?
Hold on. Let's hear from my stomach on that. He said yes.
I'm not trying to call anybody out, but Mike can be a little bit of a food snob at times.
Oh,
so
I'm
sure
you.
Something is going to be on the list he doesn't like.
You know what? You wouldn't even know what escargot was if I hadn't given it to you in New Orleans that night.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. I mean, but there are times when you go to a restaurant and you yell at people for what they order.
What's escargot?
I told him it was
fish eggs.
I told, no, that's caviar.
Oh.
I told him it was shrimp scampi. It's snails.
Well, you know I can't
eat
shrimp.
He loved it. He didn't know what he was eating. We were at Pat O'Brien's. No, we were at Dickie Brennan's. I said, try some of this.
I thought that was duck we ate. What are you talking
about? That's foie gras. Yeah. I bought you a
lot. Foie gras is what it was.
No, that was in Vegas. I bought you a lot of good meals.
I'm not a fan of foie gras.
And these Rocky Mountain oysters he passed over to too while we're at it.
No, that foie gras stuff was pretty good, Carl. You just got to broaden your horizons.
No, I've had
a crusty baguette. It's money, man.
Not so much.
See, we got stuck on 3.
Okay. Well, we'll finish tomorrow. How's that?
I might do delicacies for our game winner tonight. Delicacies.
All right, we'll finish that tomorrow. Hey, high school football fans, tune in to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9 The Game, this Saturday for live play-by-play coverage. It's the Metro PCS Corky Kale Classic. It's at Mercedes-Benz, guys. For more information, go to 92.9thegame.com. Top teams from around the state playing and facing off. Real quick.
I'm putting 500 on Walton over Mill Creek. I think it's minus 3 right
now.
Hey,
as we get to the Falcon Report, you said you had some big news in the NFL.
Yeah.
Nah, you going to tell us?
You want me to tease it some more?
Well, that'd be great.
Think of bacon strips, a big mouth, and, some guys like them.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.